All right, welcome to the hours. We got a triple cast today. Mark Cassio, Claire Murphy. What up, Murph?
We out here. We in here. I have to, I'm repping the Blue Jays. I had to shout out Canada. I'm fully on the Canadian bandwagon for baseball. Haven't watched baseball in 30 years since the last time the Blue Jays were in the World Series, but I'm cheering them on. So
good luck to the Blue Jays in the Super Bowl. I hope that you score lots of field goals and trifectas. Correct. Yes. Yeah, let's go. Go Canada. Oh, Canada. All right. Quick update from the team. We are fresh off of putting on the first ever annual Savvy Coaching Clinic. And this Savvy Coaching Clinic took place in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have been to so many clinics in my career as a coach. And I can say this confidently. I think it was the most impactful clinic that I've ever been a part of. I've attended clinics. We put on innumerable clinics with PGC. We partnered with a company called Glacier, PGC Glacier. And I think we did a wonderful job with that. This was better. And let's go ahead and popcorn around. I'll go last. Let's go Mark, Claire, then me. What made this coaching clinic so impactful and so valuable in your opinion, Mark?
I really enjoyed the breakout sessions that we had with our workshops, but I think the most impactful time came before and after, being able to just sit around with our members, whether it was, we had a coffee session on Saturday morning that was really impactful. Tyler led us through a Savvy Method exercise that helped us get ready for our seasons. But before workshops, just sitting around with the coaches, informal questions, conversations. I learned a lot from our coaches, not only just like what to do, but also what they're working through, questions that they have, obstacles that they've run into, and just being able to just sit down informally, just share ideas was really, really good.
Excellent. Claire, what do you think?
Yeah, the access for me, like that intimate group of morning, noon, night, and one-on-one conversations was my favorite part, that it was a small group and we were all accessible and they were all accessible. It wasn't like we were split over, you know, different hotels and different locations. It was just, it was easy to be around each other and even just run into each other informally, like Mark said, beyond the breakout sessions, beyond sharing meals together. Yeah, just being able to, oh, you're there at the pool. Like, let's sit down and chat was super, super cool.
Yeah. We knew the attendees. We have worked with them. We had a relationship. We had been supporting them for different periods of time. And so we were able to skip over so much of the introductory small talk stuff and meet them right where they were at, which is what makes this clinic so impactful. So before we shift gears, let's share what's wrong with most coaching clinics. And we'll just popcorn around, like, what's wrong? And in identifying these things that are wrong with most coaching clinics, we're not just throwing stones. It's why we did our clinic the way that we did. And I think it's an opportunity for all of you listeners to really evaluate the clinics that you participate in, that you put on, that you may present at, so that we can actually revolutionize the way the game is taught and played. Because coaching clinics are traditionally viewed as where coaches go to get better. And I think what we're offering up here at Savvy and the battle that we're fighting is, that's part of the battle, is the way coaching clinics have traditionally been put on is actually not how a coach is going to get better. And it's really even the origination of the hours. We decided to start doing the hours because coaches get better in the hours they spend with other coaches, sharing, conversing, mentoring, and being mentored. It takes hours and hours and hours over days and months and years to get better. The problem, my first problem with coaching clinics is the window's too small. The window's too small. Like, you go in for a day or 2 days and think that that's how you're going to get better for the entire year. That's not how it happens. It happens with extended mentorship, extended conversation, interaction. And that's what we do at Savvy Coaching with our membership. That's how coaches get better. The membership is basically you getting hired on Mark's staff. You're on Mark's staff for an entire year, and he's mentoring you to go and coach your team. We think of Mark as the head coach of our Savvy team, and we're all assistants. And he's saying, you got this game, you've got this scout, you've got this practice, you've got this progression, you've got this film assignment, go and learn this. And Mark is the head coach of the whole Savvy team. You want to go become a better coach? Go get hired by Mark Cassio or whatever coach you want to learn from. And that really is how we view our Savvy Coaching membership. And that's what we did with our clinic as well. So it's just too short. That's the first problem that I've got with most clinics. Who wants to take the next one?
I'll go next. All right. Okay. I'm gonna share three things as my good friend usually does. All right. Okay. Number one is you don't.
You're breaking the rules, but that's also what your friends do as well.
Why am I breaking the rules?
Because I said we're gonna popcorn one at a time, but I love it.
Here okay.
He's taking a shovel of popcorn.
Yes.
I'm gonna share one of my three things then.
First is
usually when you go to a clinic. And I used to go to them as well. I actually fell in love with coaches' clinics because when I was a 21-year-old head coach, I realized I don't know anything and I need to go learn some things. And, you know, back in the early 2000s, that was the only way you really could learn. But you don't get to pick the topics. You don't get to pick the speakers. And a lot of times, and I've witnessed this firsthand, is you go there, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to hear about a diamond press and I'm going to hear about this 2-3 zone. I'm going to hear about this continuity offense, and coaches will get sucked in because they have a big time, you know, college coach or pro coach presenting on this. And they're like, oh, like maybe we should run this now. And they completely change their identity. They completely change their roadmap for their program based on a 45-minute presentation where, yeah, everything's going to sound good. And like a previous episode that Tyler and Edward did, that is built to break, right? Like, and that goes in line with Tyler's, like there is no follow-up, right? The benefit of membership is you can digest something in our classroom and then go ask questions and go deeper on it. But once you leave that, you don't get to call Rick Pitino and ask him what he would do if this happens. So yeah, you don't get to pick the topic. It's not what you actually are going to a clinic for, but sometimes you get sucked into absorbing those beliefs.
Really good. Claire.
Regular coaches clinics, it's a lot of listening. You're consuming information. Don't love that. That's not how I learn best. Mm-hmm. I learn best by doing or kind of engaging with information. And so I love that we were super intentional about making it interactive. Of course, at times we were sharing information, but I think on the whole, we asked more questions than were asked of us. Like, we got to know the people in front of us and what they needed and really forced them or encouraged them, at least gave the opportunity to engage with the information, take time to process the question or information that we put out there, and then follow up with their real answers. It was a conversation, not a speech.
That's a great one. Okay, here's mine. Most coaching clinics are disjointed. I cannot tell you how many times one presenter will go and say, and that's why you should never run shell defense. And the very next presenter is like, let's go ahead and start with shell defense. They just disagree with each other, which there's a level of disagreement that is valuable if there can actually be a conversation around it. But when it's just disjointed presentations, you leave being more confused than when you came. It's like, so should I run shell defense or not? And you think that it's binary. And so there's not an intentional progression or plan throughout the different presenters that you listen to. There's no focus. And that's what I love about the clinic that we just put on, you know, from the Savvy Start through our progression of workshops to all of our individual conversations and like even the impromptu 3-hour development thing that we did on Saturday night after our keynotes. I mean, everything was moving in a direction that was connected. And so disjointed presentations is another concern that I have with most coaching clinics. They just try to get as many big names as they can to get people in the door. And that's not getting people in the door and making the most money you can off of a coaching clinic is does not lead to an intentional path. And so, yeah, that's mine. Yeah. Any others?
Number two for me. And I'm not throwing any shade here. I don't mean to offend anybody here, but it is reality is that coaches are not clinicians. So you could have a Power Five or a professional coach, and that's not what they do. Like, they're not used to coaching coaches. They're used to coaching and teaching players the game. Mm-hmm. So you usually have to get through the first 20 minutes of them talking about themselves and their career and their journey because they feel like they got to do the bio. I usually try to keep mine to 19 minutes of talking about myself, but sometimes the pro coach will go to for a full 20. The next thing is I find that they don't cater the actual presentation towards coaches, especially when it's an on-court demonstration. Like, a lot of times you could go through, maybe they're teaching some kind of drill or game, and the coaches get it after two reps, but the players don't get it. So they stay with it for 20 minutes when you could have moved on and gotten more in. Just do enough to where the coaches can see what you're trying to get out of that game. And then once you do, move on so you can get to the next topic. So I would say they stay with their bio for too long, and then they stay with one or two things for too long, and then they don't get to the rest of the stuff.
I'll go ahead and throw some shade here. In the interest of protecting coaches, hey, coaches, when you're going to present at a clinic, stop telling stories and teach them how to coach. I actually do get upset when we have 30 minutes of your personal story or the story that you think provides you credibility. That is not a heart of service. That's a heart of status, right? It's like, I want to increase my status in the eyes of the audience as opposed to I want to serve the audience. So I'm absolutely going at you and throwing shade. And in the heart of, I want to protect coaches' investment and experience. Stop telling stories, serve the coaches.
Yeah. In serving the coaches. And I mean, I think the clinicians that they do get, or rather the coaches that they do get, are often X's and O's based. And so most clinics that I've been to are strategy, which of course is helpful. We know that's part of the game. It is essential to perform at a certain level. But as we've seen with our members, a lot of them come for the systems and stay for the culture, stay for the approach to coaching. Like, how can they actually have the best experience possible, both for them and for their players? And so I think the other side of that is being identity-based, is being a savvy coach, but really that identity piece. I know we heard from our attendees, the members that were there, that the simple questions of what they can reflect on who they are and how they're showing up were the most impactful conversations, as opposed to the exact formation of screen coverage that we did cover as well. So yeah, being solely X's and O's focused as opposed to identity based is, I think, a miss for most conferences.
Yeah, yeah. I'll interject here because I had three. Tyler took, he already addressed one of mine, was like, there's no follow-up after with our membership. And then Claire, that's a really good point. I think most coaching clinics say that you share how to be a better coach of the game when most coaches need to be better teachers. So very rarely is it the art of coaching. Tyler presented on the art of coaching in our workshop, which was really, really good. It's everything that you can learn in our savvy classroom and our savvy community, but it's all geared around how to be a better teacher of the game, not obviously, like Claire said, there's strategy, there's tactics, there's every basketball thing that you can imagine underneath the sun. But the real value is, can you get your teams to do that? How can you get that transfer from practice to game? How can you be a better communicator? How can you hold high standards? That is where you're going to have way more impact in your program than just going to a clinic and learning a new ball screen coverage or, you know, a new action to incorporate in your offense.
Yeah. And on the art of coaching piece, yes, you can learn and take the course on the art of coaching in our classroom, but you can't get feedback on whether or not you're doing it right just by watching the videos in the classroom, which is why getting in person with coaches that will give you feedback is invaluable. So Mark was sitting at a table with five of our coaches and going through the art of coaching, and I would present an idea on the art of coaching, and then they would go do it. they would coach each other. So Mark is sitting there with coaches from Iowa, Michigan, Florida, and giving them feedback on how they actually taught. I mean, that's what's invaluable. Claire's at a table. I'm walking around doing it. And so that's what's invaluable. And that's what just pumped me up and made me excited about our next clinic is like that is also different than most coaching clinics where they're just presenting. You take the scribble down a couple of notes, take a couple of videos, and then they don't actually give you any feedback. And so that level of interaction and follow-up, I think, is excellent. Okay, here's another issue with most coaching clinics. They have too many presenters, too many different presenters. Less presenters on the same amount of topics is more valuable than more presenters on topics. The reason being is the more presenters you have, the more different frameworks, language you've got to digest, right? Different approaches. And it's really, really hard to go deep with so many presenters. So I think less presenters allows you to get more laser focused. You know, and so that's one thing that we're trying to address with ours as well. Mark, Claire, do you have any more?
Just on the, I think that piece of too many presenters relates to the disjointed part. Yeah. Where like, I love hearing the same person talk about multiple topics so that I can really see, okay, how do their core principles, like how they approach the game, how does that apply to different areas of their coaching, of their communication, of those pieces? Because I feel like that's a lot of the questions that we get when with our members is they're like, okay, well, I like this part of offense, I like this part of defense, but this is what's most important to me culture wise or standards wise, and I don't know how they connect. And so one way to do that, yes, all the things we've talked about, like going deep, having the follow-up, having relationship beforehand, but just in a regular clinic setting, if I were to hear somebody speak on two topics instead of two different people on those topics, I could make some more of those connections.
Yeah. Mark, you have another one?
Well, one thing that we did on the retreat while we were in Phoenix is we ran a practice. I don't know if we want to dive into some takeaways there.
Yes. I got two more. One, most coaching clinics only focus on coaching, basketball, whatever sport, right? Most coaching clinics don't address what I'm going to put under the category of culture and life skills and leadership. Most don't even touch on that because it doesn't often sell. And yet we at Savvy know and believe how valuable that is. And so Claire did a workshop on identity. We brought in a mental performance coach, Shane Kuiper, who did an unbelievable topic just around like your beliefs and how that affects every aspect of your leadership and the culture that you then create. We brought in an expert on family legacy and culture, because as we all know, what suffers in the midst of a coach's season is their family and their personal relationships. And so I think just like that level, like I did a session on how to build confidence. Those are all topics I have never seen at a coaching clinic. And they're topics that we believe are essential to developing a holistic and impactful transformational coach. And if you only focus on a press break or a new drill in practice or an offensive or defensive system, you will not be a savvy coach. You will not be a transformation impactful coach. That's what's wrong with coaching clinics. It's what's wrong with the coaching profession. And it's what we're on a mission to address. Thank you, because if you're listening, you're probably on that same mission. And we hope to continue to serve people through the hours. Let me finish lastly with this. What's missing in most traditional coaching clinics is something that I want to ensure we don't miss. And that's humility and asking for feedback. We are thrilled and confident with the event that we put on and know that it is incomplete, not as good as it could have been. And there are so many areas where we can improve. You help us improve. Continue to give us feedback in the comments. What did we miss? What else do we need to address? How can we get better? We are sending out a survey to all of our coaches as we speak, asking for feedback on how can we serve you better, and then to actually do it. So just like your learners, we are learners and we are learning, and we know that we can do better, and we're committed to doing better next year. And we invite you to join us for our second annual Savvy Coaching Clinic next year. It happens this time in the fall in Phoenix, Arizona. Come and hang out, and Mark and I will give you money in the poker game, because that is what, actually, I'll give you money. Mark actually will take your money. And that is what we're about. Okay. Any final thoughts around coaching clinics, how our coaches should perceive and pursue coaching clinics before we shift gears?
Last thing.
Okay.
As you make your budget for next season, remember that we're having a coaching clinic, because feedback that we got this year was, already allocated the money to this clinic, or I'm only allowed to go to one clinic. So make sure you don't forget about us. And then also another thing is, I've heard that ADs only pay for in-person clinics. I would say that is not the best use of your money. I would say the clinic would be an addition to your membership. So if you could only pick one, I would encourage you pick membership, because you get 365 days of that. It's just not in person, but the membership and the clinic combined is absolute home run.
Keep an eye out for a new Savvy membership tier coming soon that will include both your annual all-in online membership and the coaching clinic. It's going to be our VIP tier, and that might be an easier sell to your AD and say, hey, this is like an all-in coaching clinic, but it's also year-round support. It should be the easiest sell to your AD. All right, let's shift gears here. This is great. We're going to give you three specific things that we learned from running a youth basketball practice together. The dream team was in person, Mark, Claire, and Tyler, and we're each going to share one learning takeaway application that you can go and apply right now in your practices with your team, whatever level that you're coaching. I also got to go work with a college team two days ago. And I might throw a bonus one in there that I learned from coaching college women 2 days ago as well. So we're in person. We got to run a practice. We actually just put into our membership a new chaos passing game that Mark created on the fly, implemented within 30 seconds. Coaches in the membership are loving it already. I don't know if you saw. They're just like, it's honestly been one of the most engaging and exciting posts we've made in the last couple of weeks, Mark. So snaps to you on that. Mark, what did you learn? What were you reminded of? What should coaches take away from the practice we ran together?
I think everybody in the gym could have taken this one away. You can have really high standards and be messy at the same time. So I would say this was, they had other teams practicing. This was a multi-court facility. And when we walked in, there was a lot of clean drills going on. And then when Savvy Academy got on the court, it was like, oh, this is different. But it's way more fun. It's way more engaging. It's kind of way more transfer. So right away, we played the game called Chaos, where, you know, it was very chaotic. We played Race Car, which can be chaotic. And all through the hour and a half or 2 hour session, the teams got better. But Tyler did a really nice job. He was kind of the head coach of this. Claire and I were supporting him at different baskets. There was still really, really high standards. And just one example of how Tyler held high standards was not only just stopping to teach and to reteach things, but I think you called like three or four technical fouls in this practice.
I love a good technical foul.
For what I would call a next play violation, right? And sometimes at practice we can, especially when we're messy, you know, we can let those things slide. But if there's anything like that, just Tyler was so quick to just like, nope, whistle. That's a technical. That's not what we do. Turnover, whatever it is, you're off. But yeah, really, really messy, but really, really high standards, which led to a lot of improvement.
Yeah. And to be clear, like the technical foul, I think they actually happened in when we were playing this game, Race Car. And when an individual got a violation called on them and their team turned the ball over because of the violation, their mistake response was one of frustration and slamming the ball down in frustration or eye rolling or, disagreeing with the call instead of getting onto the next play. So that's an immediate technical foul in our gym. Mistakes, we celebrate them. right? Mistakes of play, we celebrate them. But mistakes of how we respond to adversity, we have a high standard on that, and we immediately have a predetermined consequence, and that's technical foul. If it's an attitude thing, technical foul. If it's a skill deficiency, we love it. So that would be a great example. And just to give one specific action and takeaway for coaches, what Mark and Claire did so well, and why I love just watching them run their baskets, was they saw 100 areas and opportunities for improvement and didn't address it. They waited, watched, got maximized reps in speed and messiness, and then brought the group in and debriefed it and gave them one thing, and then they sent them back out right away to do it. Saw 100, addressed one. I think one that stuck out to me for Mark was pivoting. One that stuck out to me with Claire was using names to call for the ball when you were getting nearby and available. And, you know, that honestly, what you address doesn't matter so much as how you address it. They didn't address it screaming with concurrent feedback. They didn't, they didn't pre-teach it, and they didn't address too many things at once. They plus one on the debrief, which was something that I think all of you can take away. Claire, what's one of your takeaways? Unless I just stole it, I apologize.
Nope, all good. Lots of takeaways, so I can pick any number. It was the reaffirmation of the value of preparation over planning, and specifically a plus one on this, doing so together with your coaching staff. So we, you know, Tyler had a plan in mind, right? There was a plan as a base, but then debriefed with Mark and I of, okay, what are the main objectives? What do we need to get to? What do we want them to take away? So that once we were in it, that left space to observe, to pivot when needed, right? We cut some things short. We had different people lead things. We went longer on other drills because we knew of that kind of keeping the main thing, and being able to adjust, like the preparation that goes into, we don't know how many people are going to be there. And so we can't plan specifically what the groups are going to be, or what the baskets are going to be, or what the organization is going to be. But the preparation of having done that many times, or thinking through the scenarios, made it a lot smoother within that. And then if I can add one, which is related to the preparation going into other practices, is then the debrief afterwards. I love that the three of us were able to just sit down, celebrate each other, talk about what went well, what we could improve on, what we would have done differently. And I feel like that goes into the preparation for if we were to have another practice together, which unfortunately won't be for a while, but set us up well if that was the case.
Really good.
One thing on that, Claire, I felt the way we plan practice together and the way Tyler facilitated that is how a head coach should do it with their staff. This is what I want to work on. Claire, what do you have for that? Right. So Claire, give me a one-on-one game that would help my team be a better rebounder. Right. And then, cause sometimes I would offer like, oh, but we don't have to do that. We could do this instead. And Tyler would say, no, that's what we need to get better at. We need to get better at erasing in our rebounding roles. So he had a really clear idea and vision of what his team needed to be better at, but he let us choose how we did that, since we were going to be the ones running. Well, we thought that we were going to be the ones running the game, but I know Tyler has stepped in and ran one of my favorites, block out to cut out, which is in our drill book for any of our members listening.
Yeah.
It felt very collaborative with leadership.
Yes. I like that. Okay. So what can you take away from this, coaches listening? Establish a process by which your staff prepares and debriefs after each practice. Oh, we don't have time for that. Oh, we don't have everyone on campus. Oh, everyone has to get home to their family. All of those are factors to take into account when you put together your plan by which you prepare and debrief. The preparation and debrief is more important than the practice time. I'll say it again. The preparation and your debrief are more important than the practice time, because it will make all practice time throughout your entire season more effective. You know, John Wooden offered up this idea of a 2-to-1 ratio. For every hour of practice, you spend 2 hours planning. We would probably offer up the word preparing and debriefing. And so if you do only have a 2-hour window that all your coaches are going to be there because they're coming from work and they have to get home, cut your practice short by X amount of minutes, 15, and spend 5 preparing and 10 debriefing, because it will make your next slightly shortened practice more effective. As a head coach, Claire.
For all of our coaches who are alone at their practices, and we know there are many of you, we had the privilege of 3. We've worked with teams that have the privilege of a great coaching staff. We know that many of you are riding solo. You can still take that time to do it yourself or use us. That's what we're here for in the membership, is to support you through that and to debrief. But even just taking solo reflection time of what you liked that you did, like, celebrate yourself and then also figure out what you're going to change.
We would love to be your coaching staff. And so how would you, great point, Claire. So how would you use us, or as a head coach, use your staff? And Mark shared this, but let me get even more specific. If you're using us, use us or the rest of your staff interchangeably. As a head coach, identify the objectives. What do you want to get better at? The objectives that I identified based on our most previous games and competition, which are just tests, which are just data to identify where we're at and to tell us where we need to go. We had to get open in space. Getting open in space was one objective. Second objective, we have to get better at rebounding, specifically erasing and then chasing the ball. We have to get better at rebounding. Lastly, we have to get better at hunting nines, cracking the shell, that's what we call it. We have to get better at hunting and then using that advantage to play once we hunt. Those are 3 things we have to get better at. So getting open space, Mark, what do you got for that? Boom, chaos came out of it, right? Rebounding, Claire, what do you got for that? This one-on-one erase game came out of that, right? Hunting, this other one-on-one game, playing with advantage and hunting came out of that, right? So use us for that, head coaches. Here's the objectives I have for my team, and just put a comment, put a post up in our community, be like, here's my objectives. What do I do for that in my practice? We will direct you to games, drills, primes, and the drill book. So, you know, put it out there for your coaching staff. So that's step one on the preparation side. Mark, Claire, anything to add on the approach or specific nuts and bolts on the preparation side? Okay. I would argue the more importantly is the debrief side. Okay. Take time with your staff afterwards to celebrate your staff. It makes unbelievable deposits in them. It builds trust, right? And that which gets celebrated gets repeated. If I celebrate Mark for the effort that he put into creating chaos and the intentionality and how quickly he got them going, he's going to do those things more, right? Celebrate each other first. That will remove the feeling of coaching being a grind. Then on the debrief side, what worked, what didn't work, and what we got to do different, right? So chaos worked. Okay. Let's make sure that we put that into the next one. What didn't work, right? Okay. Well, it didn't work was the standard of our mistake response when something turned over. So we need to probably, okay, let's address that in the next one, right? What do we got to do different? We probably need to schedule a little more time in for chaos. It took longer than we thought. We didn't schedule the right amount of time for that. You know, we probably spent too little time on rebounding. That didn't work. Let's make sure we schedule more time for that in the next practice. What do we got to do different in the next practice? Make sure that you're very forward thinking as opposed to just kind of like sitting in the past. That's how we had focused on debriefing. All right, beautiful. Are we on to what I learned, or was that all that came out of what you learned, Claire?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah,
I think I already shared what I learned, but I'll give one bonus from going to working with GCU. So I actually got to work with GCU's Grand Canyons University's JV squad. As you know, many of these colleges have a JV squad. This JV squad actually competes at the club level, and they have won 8 national championships at the club level across like all clubs, Division One nationally. So their JV squad has like JUCO and Division Two college players that transfer into GCU just to experience that college life and to play for this club. So this club is legit. Okay. So here's what I learned. I went into a team that had an offense and a defensive system, and they have been playing, they've already been playing games and tournaments. And the head coach, our friend Shane Kuiper, the head coach said, "Tyler, just treat it like your team. Do what you do. I want to watch." I said, "All right, I'm just going to rock as if I'm going from zero." He said, "No problem." The lesson that I learned is, coaches, you're probably too complex and you move on too fast. We got in there. I said, "All right, what are you guys trying to do on offense?" I asked the team. Silence. They had no idea what they were trying to do on offense. They couldn't articulate it, right? So we worked on this. We understood that we want space before advantage, advantage before shot. We worked on it. After 30 minutes, I said, "What are we trying to do on offense?" They said, "Space." I said, "What do we want to do with the space?" They said, "Create advantage." And I said, "Once we create advantage, what do we want?" They said, "Nines first and sevens second." Everyone could say it within 30 minutes. If we come in and work with your team and they can't tell me what you're trying to do on offense, you haven't done your job yet as a coach. That's what I learned. You're too complex. Your language isn't clear. Then we're getting pretty good at this. We're playing fast. We're playing full court. And we finally, they're scoring easily in transition because they're just playing space with advantage out of transition and hunting the types of shots that we want. Then about an hour into practice, we actually arrive at the first time where the offense is neutral, where they're spaced, but they don't have an advantage. And everything ground to a halt. And I said, "Okay, we're now neutral. What do we do when we don't have an advantage?" And they said, "Create one." I said, "Yeah, how do you do that?" Silence, right? And I said, "Okay, well, we at Savvy believe that when you're neutral, you run an action to create an advantage. What do you guys do?" And they're like, "Oh, we have some plays." And I said, "Okay," we talked about actions and plays. I said, "Okay, run one of your plays." Silence. They froze. No one knew what to do, right? Because, and there's many reasons why this could be. It could be because there's too many plays and they have too many options. It could be because they don't actually know the plays very well. It could be because they're not used to triggering the plays themselves or waiting for a play call from the sideline. And so when they had to actually make a decision to run a play that they had practiced, they couldn't do it, or at least they couldn't do it under pressure or quickly. Feedback, coaches, if your players can't trigger a play or an action, it doesn't matter how well they know the play. If they can't trigger it with speed on their own under pressure, it's a useless play. It could be a great play, and I'm using play intentionally here. It can be a great play, but if they can't flow into it, it doesn't matter. That is what I learned from working with some really smart, and here's how I know these players were so smart. They implemented faster than any team I've worked with in the last year. They implemented so fast. I was so impressed, and they were very skilled. But traditional coaching approaches had failed them, and because it's failed them, I think it could be failing your team as well.
I love that reminder to show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. I actually worked with an eighth grade team yesterday, and all the same takeaways, and I would even say I think we did – one what would be considered a drill the entire practice. And a former assistant of mine, we were talking earlier in the day, and I said, "Hey, I'm working with this team. It's the school that my daughters go to. Come hang out." And he came and hung out. He just watched, and he was like, "Man, in 2 hours they have gotten so much better." So if you were listening to what Tyler was saying, like, "Oh yeah, but that's like a higher level team," I was probably in the gym at the same exact time doing it with an eighth grade team, and they got a lot better too.
So adopt the Savvy method and enjoy the results. If you want to check out the Savvy method, we got a free trial. We've turned on the 7-day free trial because we want every coach in the world to check it out. And it might not be for you. The Savvy method is not for everyone, but if you're curious, There's no commitment. Come check us out. We have 6 to 10 coaches joining us every single day to check us out. And not all of them stay. And that's cool. That's fine. But we want to make it accessible to every coach everywhere. That's why we're giving you a 7-day free trial. Head to Savvy Coach, S-A-V-I, SavvyCoach.com. Check it out in the description below. And come get to know us for 7 days and see if Savvy is for you. We would love to get to know you and to serve you. Until next time, I'm Tyler. That's Mark. That's Claire. We are Savvy Coaching. Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.